song again. There was a lot of energy that came to me when Isaac raised this song. Hallelujah.
When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. One by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord.
Thank thank you. Today, as we repent for being unthankful, for so much that looking at the storms, looking at the things you have not done, and forgetting the so many things that you have done. Lord, we thank you. For you have given us all things, given us brethren, given us your Son, given us your Spirit, given us your Word, given us the blood, given us life, given us opportunity, my God, to be called your sons. And so many, so many, so many. We thank you also for trouble. We thank you for failings. Thank you where we have fallen flat. Thank you where we have been foolish. In everything we give thanks. We thank you even for the affliction of our bodies. And we look, we say, Lord, when will this prayer be answered? But Lord, we thank you every day. We thank you for today. Even today, being alive, being in the congregation of the people of God. We bless your name, O God. We glorify your name. Lord, we ask that you will bless us today with your sweet spirit. Bless us with corn, oil, and wine. Lord, strengthen our hearts. My God, judge these attitudes. My God, break the coverings. And Lord, touch us. Touch our hearts. Touch our soul. Touch our body. Touch our spirits. My God, touch our circumstances. He said, David, that day that everyone had bread, everyone had wine, and everybody went home glad and happy. Well, as you do that to us today, we bless your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank God for this today, the opportunity. I thank God for the opportunity to lay down the big burden we're carrying. It has been a blessing carrying it, and I actually want to thank the brethren for patience and the opportunity to just share some of these thoughts that the Lord has given me. Sometimes I hear these things, I have to write them down. It's not manufactured, so I'm just trying to organize it in a way to put it across. Amen. I do hope and pray that it's a blessing. And then you can actually go back and look at them if they are not clear in any way and study. So what I've done in the slides, I've tried to add it, the old ones, because of those who are studying, it'll be easier instead of going through the past one. So the slides have been added onto others. So I have like 20 slides that just have the old ones. Today we just have like 7 new things to look at. And because it's combined, you know, we're looking at, you know, we looked at reconciliation, atonement, and reconciliation last week. And this week we're taking two so that we can rest the burden. We're looking at right standing, you know, and righteousness and dominion. And then we'll look just briefly on the trumpet of Jubilee, because it has been part of the ministry. So we'll just take it. It's more like a study. So there are lots of scriptures which I encourage you to look through. And then I'm sure as you look through your own, the Lord will give you more to confirm the thoughts in our hearts. But just because of today, I want to open differently from Ephesians, from the point of blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, Because today we're looking at the end point. We're looking at the blessings. We're looking at the provisions, our inheritance that Christ has given to us. You know, when Isaac said, you know, we'll be talking about the endless life, in my doubtful mind, it sounded very heavy. I said, why are we even talking? Don't you think we are being too high-minded to be talking about the endless life? In my mind, you know, but as I thought about this, somebody, you know, God encouraged me. You know, I remember the thought that the Lord gave me, that God did not create man to die. God did not create man to die. Hallelujah. You know, but you know, many things have happened to bring us to where we are now, where even when we hear such a word, it's heavy in our minds. You know, but we pray that the Lord will deliver us and the Lord will set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen now. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I want to open from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? Can we read it together? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We are in heavenly places. Amen. Amen. Can we read it again? That verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Yes.
All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ.
Amen. So, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But we see, even as Hebrews says, but we see that those blessings are not fully working in our life. So sometimes it makes us doubt, whether they are really true. But in the past few weeks, we have tried to show why it is like that, because someone came and stole them. You know, something happened to our mind, something happened to our soul that took these things away from us. And God has begun to move, you know, to recover, to enable us to recover. So we are on the recovery phase. To recover the thing that rightly belongs to us. God did not create man to die. I don't know if you know that no soul dies. Are you aware that no soul dies? When they say somebody has died, it's not that, it's not, no soul is destroyed. No, it doesn't happen. You know, the only thing that happens when you call death is separation, actually. Death is separation. The Bible says that the body separate from the spirit is dead. You know, so that death is in terms of separation. But there is no soul that is destroyed. Amen. So you will never be destroyed. So what God tells us is that sin is what makes the difference that makes a soul to dwell outside of the presence of God. But when sin is taken away, then we receive the authority to dwell in the presence of God. And that's life. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is no soul that is destroyed. So what is the issue is separation from God. And, you know, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that separation is dealt with. And that's what we looked at last week, reconciliation. So the purpose of reconciliation is to make us friends again with God, to bring us back to the presence of God. Amen. Yeah, say amen now. Amen. Even though there are some rascals that teach that the soul is destroyed, the other witness people, they say that, but they are not. It's not. Anything God creates can never be destroyed, because God can never be destroyed. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. Anything God makes, whatsoever God makes, is forever. God makes forever. Hallelujah. So He made man forever. Hallelujah. The only thing is, where would you be forever? Sin is what makes man to be separated from God. So Jesus came to take away that barrier and then to bring us back. Hallelujah. So Adam was with God and that project is forever. Amen. That project of Adam is forever. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to bring back that original project, to bring us back to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we come back to God, we are coming back with the full package, the full blessings that He has given to us. Amen. And He has given to us a man called Jesus Christ. A man. A man. Hallelujah. You know, I was sharing. I was shocked the day I saw it. Melchizedek is a man. In Hebrews 12, in Hebrews 7, three times it's mentioned. The man. The man. The man. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what is peculiar about Melchizedek? Because he's a spiritual man. He's a man of the spirit. Without father, without mother, without beginning, and without the end. That is normal. Hallelujah. Amen. So sin has made us, you know, I think that's part of the waves our brother was talking about. The waves of life. They bring doubt. You know, but it's good to come be in the presence of God, because when we come, as we look at Him, He tells us to come, and then we can begin to walk. We'll walk on the waves of doubt, of unthankfulness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I'm just going to go on straight, because today is really, I'm combining two things. I want to just discharge it. So I trust that you know, that we'll be talking about atonement. We have explained it very well, what atonement means. We'll say there are three ways in which we summarize it. One is reconciliation. Two people are quarreling, and they settle the quarrel. Amen. What is the reason for the quarrel? Sin. Man sinned. Man rebelled against God. Okay. Now, if you are like me, you will ask, but how is my own with it now? I'm here in Port Harcourt. When did I join the quarrel? You know? So, when did I join this quarrel? Because I've never quarreled with God. When? All right. So, we're going to go a little bit deeper in those areas. You know, because there has to be a law. Anything you do. You know this one that came and stayed 6 months in Port Harcourt, and I have driven him away. They're asking him questions. He said, because somebody told me to come. You have to have a law. And somebody came and made an announcement. It's the basis of that announcement that brought it to Port Harcourt. That now tell us how you spend the money. He went back to the man and said, it's that man that said to me. So law is important. When you are dealing with doubt, you know, you must know the law. You must know, why are you talking about reconciliation? Then who gave you authority to come and ask? Because you must understand. You must understand. I don't know if you can find that scripture. I forgot to check it. I think, is it not Isaiah chapter? You say, come, let us reason together. Where is that? Well, is that, can you show that scripture? Today we are going into law. Because you must understand the reason. So if you are standing, you are standing on legal ground. You have an authority. Amen. So when you stand against the devil, you say, I have authority. Who gave you authority? You say, so and so gave me authority. Alright, that's it. So God is saying, come together. Come now. Let us do what? Reason. Don't be afraid to reason with God. I do a lot of reasoning. There's one scripture now where I'm reasoning because it's a conflict. You know? He says this, I say, go, okay, case, why? So when I ask, I wait. It may take 1 or 2 years if it's a difficult one, but it will eventually come. So I may come earlier. But reason with God, because you must have a reason. You know? So let us what? Reason together, say the Lord. Amen. So we're looking at some basics. Why? What? How did I get involved in this quarrel that I have to be reconciled and all that? Amen. We're told, you know, Romans 5 answers part of that. It says, if by the sin of one man, death entered. Because that's the way death entered. All right? So we're talking about loins, you know, something that happened that's coming from Adam. There is a river flowing from Adam. I don't know if you understand. There's a river flowing from Adam down to your parents' loins. And will flow through your own loins to that of children. That's why marriage is important, because there is a transference. It's a law. You don't see physically, but it's a spiritual thing. Because we're dealing with both natural and spiritual. Natural and spiritual. In the natural, I was telling you about River State. That's a natural law. That must be law. Even though some people are lawless, but eventually the law will catch up with you. All right? How much more in the spirit? In the realm of the spirit, there is nothing as sure as law. In the next 6 hours, everything in this place will be dark, whether you like it or not. It's a law. It's the ordinance of heaven. It's fixed. Amen. So, God says, I am faithful. You can go to bank with it. You may feel bad. It's like me praying without believing. But God will never doubt himself. God is good. He will always be good. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at law. So can you see that? Look at that slide 12. Slide 12. Show us slide 1. No, slide number 2. Then we'll jump to this one. Not this one. Go back. The one before this. That's just a summary. The one before. This one. I just put it just to guide me. Guide you if you are studying. All right. What we're going to look at. We're looking at access. You know, access. You get access by marriage or by adoption. Alright, so we'll be talking about that. And then the sealing. As God is reconciling, he's sealing. He walks side by side. As you receive reconciliation, you are sealed and you have access. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know? You come into university, graduate assistant. As they promote you, you have more authority in the university. Or you become a big boy like me. But it's a true many processes. Alright? So dominion is where we're coming to. Because, you know, like that, the whole thing is authority over darkness, over sin, over second, these waves that the brother was talking about. Authority and dominion. Amen. And you can't have authority and dominion without, you know, with somebody whose life depends on it. Devil's life depends on sin and on righteousness. And I tell them to leave it. It's not going to happen now. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, so they're going to fight. They're very stubborn spirits. But we too are stubborn in righteousness. Yeah. Amen. Say amen now. Yeah. So you must be stubborn also. And the reason why you be stubborn is because you know you're right. Yeah. Amen. You know you're right. Somebody is taking what belongs to you. Okay, what's the problem, man? This is my right. Amen. Don't you understand? Amen. I had a dream. God showed me something. Some people were playing some in the dream. But God revealed it. Yeah, so when I came out, I started praying with authority because God had shown me what was going on. Don't you understand? So you need authority. What is the basis? In fact, do you know what they call faith? The hypostasis. That's the ground upon which you stand. God gives you a word. You stand on that word. Amen. So God has faith and he spoke. Say, let there be light. He didn't doubt. The light came. And light is still coming. All right, then we'll end with Jubilee. So let's go to slide 11. Slide 12. Because 1 to 11 are all the things we've talked about before. It's there for study, if you are looking at it and studying. But let's go to 11. Slide 11. Or is it 12? No. Yes. Very good. So that's where we're starting today. So we're looking at access. You know, how do we have access in the Spirit? Okay, and there are 10 laws that I've seen. 10. I just summarized it. The basis of one, I think it covers everything. Number one. All right. No. This is not. Is that where I am? Okay, yeah. So that's the first place. So the first basis of your engagement with God is the cross. And remember, Isaac has been teaching us, and is there a scripture? The only way you can have life is by offering. Solomon brought 22,000 cows. I don't even, can you count it? 22. And he brought 122 sheep. 120,000 sheep. God came the next morning. That night, God said, hey, okay, what's your problem? Amen. So Jesus brought life to us by that offering on the cross. It is a divine touchstone. Amen. And the most important thing that happened on the cross is the blood, though, is the blood that was being released. And inside that blood, the blood is a vehicle. I was asking somebody about my guy the other day, why is blood liquid? Why is it not like air? We'll still settle that matter later. Of what is called liquid, all right? And in it, it carries the energy and life of God. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus is not just English language. It is a life of God that Adam lost. You know, Brebre was talking about it yesterday. You know, the life that Adam lost is given back to us through the blood and through the cross. So the cross is the foundation of recovery of blessings in God. If you meet somebody who doesn't have the cross in his life, you can't feel energy. You know, especially you're just going around. You know, you can talk at all, but you can't feel the life of God. All right? When somebody has the life of God, you can feel it. You can touch it. And it's a basis. All right? So, the reconciliation that God had in mind began on the cross. But before the cross, there were some things that God did, you know, as a stopgap. Until the time of the cross. And one of it was that he brought the law. You know, we are told in Galatians that the law was what? A schoolmaster. Just to a temporary thing. Until the real experience will come. Alright? So, remember, you are not at the cross. That's the law aspect. You are not at the cross. Physically. The only way you can speak to the cross is by these laws we are talking about now. That's the only way. Alright? It has to be by your agreement. That an agreement is an activity of your heart, of your mind. You open your mind, you open your heart, and it's okay. I agree with that thing that happened on the cross. Amen. So Romans 5 says that for a righteous man, nobody will die. You know, and then what's the wrong one again? Some will die. But God showed his love to us that when we were what? Without hope. What did he do? Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. But if Christ died, there's no connection between Christ and you. The only connection is what? Faith. That you accept that what he did. Now, if you believe that what he did is just partial, it will work for you. It is your faith that triggers the power. Amen. The priest says, as long as the blood is in the basin, it's of no use to you. When they collect the blood, they keep it in the basin. The priest must dip his hand. Say, the priest, high priest shall dip his finger in the blood and then sprinkle it. If the blood is there and you don't touch the, you don't activate it, it's of no use. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you understand, brethren. The blood, all these provisions are there, but you must activate them for them to work for you. So the cross is the most important. And the cross, it has a, there's a reason for the cross. The reason is that Adam, man, will have access back to where he came from. And he came from the presence of God. Hallelujah. He came from the presence of God. All right? Now, the second one is the influence that comes. The influence that comes as a result of what Christ has done. So it's not just that Christ has done, but it opens up, you know, opens you up to certain influences. And they work both ways. All right? So, number three, we see the law of sin. Sin is a law. All right? But that law is not absolute. It came because of Adam. All right? So there are the acts of sin. If I tell lies today, I say, Bro Ken, I'm sorry. But if there is something making me to tell lies, has it solved it? It has not. So forgiveness is good though. But you see, we cannot stop our forgiveness. We must go down to look at that thing that is that nature. Amen. Because sin entered and lodged in the highest realm of man. So when you are cutting the leaves, you say, I'm sorry. God said, leave the sorry now. Let's go deep down and address that thing. Let's address the matter. So, the law of sin is there. But there is something deeper than just sin. Hallelujah. So, and that are the influences of sin. Alright? Sin opens the door. And then 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the sting of sin is what? Is death. The sting or the weapon. Alright? If there was no sin, there would not be any death. That's what Paul is saying. Without sin, no, you won't be talking about death. Death came in because of sin. Therefore, if you take away death, take away sin, death will run away. Amen. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Yes. So he said the sting of death is what? Of sin is death. And then he said that the strength of death is what? Okay, I'm missing it up. Let's read it. I'm there already. Verse 56. So the sting of death is sin. That's what I was saying. And then the strength of sin is the law. That's what, yeah. So that's the strength of sin. So it's not just sin, but the law, the influence. Okay? So, but the Bible tells us that Jesus, that Adam, that sin reigned from Adam to Moses. Alright? What happened in Moses? Moses was when they brought that temporary blood. Alright? And in Timothy, we are told that when the blood of Jesus came, what did he do? He abolished sin. Alright? And abolished death. Amen. Alright, so let's go back again. Alright, so the influences of sin over the mind. So if we are talking about forgiveness, forgiveness does not deal with influences. So it will deal with it partly, because there is still an original thing. Alright? So it's like you have a virus that has corrupted your system. They may repair it, but unless you get the virus out, it will still be manifesting. Alright? So there are influences over, you know, as a result of that. Now, that, so those are the, you know, the first few. But, you know, the righteous part is bigger than the unrighteous part. So for number five, we say the law of righteousness. As you have the law of sin, we also have the law of righteousness. All right? So this is the offering of Christ. And since we're in Roman, let's just read that that law that he was quoting. I hope you know that Jesus is the principal spirit in the spirit. I don't know if you understand that. In the politics of Nigeria, there are some principal politicians. They are in every party. Any party you go, you meet them. They are principal politicians. In the spirit, there is a principal spirit. Do you know the, and his name is what? Christ. Anywhere you are coming, immediately you raise your hand in the spirit, bam, you must touch. Christ is the principal spirit. He's the strength and beginning of all. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright, so he's talking about this Christ. Romans chapter 5. For verse 12. Say, wherefore, as that one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all that have sinned. That's not the big story. Alright, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's the argument of some people. Why are you talking about original sin? This is what they mean by original sin. Adam sinned. How does original sin concern me? Amen. So if original sin concerns me, the original righteousness also concerns me. Amen. Amen. There is original sin, no problem. But there is original righteousness by Christ. Hallelujah. So it's canceled out. Amen. Alright. But not as offense, so also is the free gift for... Let's jump to 17. If by one man's offense death reigned over one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one. Jesus Christ. So we have the principal spirit. That's what Brebre was talking yesterday. There is a principal spirit. And it's not just that you have. That spirit is in you. And that spirit is bringing you into that spirit. Do you understand? There are two different things. Christ in you. You can go to Hotel Presidential. Christ, you say, because I love you, I'll still be there. But when you're in Christ, you can't go there for Hotel Presidential. There are two different things. Christ in us is the beginning of the project. The end of the project is when that energy brings us, breaks every barrier. You know, there are barriers in the spirit. Outer court, holy place, veil. There are veils in the spirit. There are gatekeepers. I don't know if someone listened to me. There are gatekeepers. There are gatekeepers that says, spirit of famine, is working. He said, we have been sent to make sure that you remain in famine. There are gatekeepers. Amen. So you must have a reason. Your leg must be strong on the ground to challenge those spirits. That's what we are talking about. That's the application. Hallelujah. There are gates in the spirit. Hallelujah. But you enter the next level by a passport. Amen. It's called the key of knowledge. Jesus said, you have taken away the key of knowledge. There are things that God gives you that opens the door and you enter. Hallelujah. And the Lord is opening those doors. And we are entering in. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have authority. The Spirit of Christ. So there is no spirit anywhere. Doubt or fear. They can come. It's not that they will not come. Somebody talks about the tasting death. Death can come and knock you on the leg. It's not that you have that. You're not that. You're just testing to know. Do you know where you are standing? And you know you are standing if you are standing on the rock. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the rock that cannot be moved. What is the rock? Christ. The word of Christ. That word that God gave to you. That is the rock. You hold it, it can never fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright, so that's the law. Alright, of righteousness. Let's look at the next one. Now, this is where the game starts. Now, because of the law of righteousness, some things will land. Hallelujah. The law of what? The Spirit of life. And it's not just life, it's light. Amen. The Spirit of light. And light has power in itself. Say, light shines in darkness. And the darkness cannot. Darkness, even Nollywood, they say, what's that thing they say? Good over evil. Even Nollywood, they borrow it. They say that evil will not triumph over good. You know what Nollywood does? They put it in their film. Amen. There's no way. It may take time, but darkness cannot overtake light. Hallelujah. So that's where the law starts working, because by accepting Christ, what you have done is that you have opened the door for the Spirit of life, for the Spirit of light to begin to work in you. Hallelujah. Say amen. Huh? Amen. That's why somebody says righteousness brings light, brings life. If a righteous man is going through, that's why they said, Job, a righteous man does not suffer. You must have sinned. But the theology was not complete, because God can also open the door for purposes of displaying his glory. Amen. But they say, a righteous man cannot be suffering like you are suffering. You must have done something wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. They only follow one side of the story. They didn't go to the other side. Amen. A righteous man will have life. Righteousness brings life. Brings light. Amen. It brings prosperity. Opens the door. Things flow with righteousness. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Even though in Nigeria people are bold because they have money in their account. Just that one morning they woke up that the body doesn't have any more strength. Amen. So that's the law of light that comes because of righteousness. So the more you are walking into righteousness, the more the life is walking in you. Amen. I told you that when I came, I was a small boy in university, there are some things that I didn't have access to. But as I began to rise in university, I had more access to other things. That's the way it works. So as God is reconciling you, He's open. There are doors open. Life and righteousness begin to flow. Amen. The more you go into this, the more the other ones open. Hallelujah. They walk together. Amen. So look at the next one. The law of the loins. That answers that question. I say, how does it concern you? It's like they say, happy birthday. They say, right, it concerns you. So now, what's the concern? The concern is that we are in the loins of Christ. When he was on the cross that day, you were on the cross. Somebody said, as they were nailing his accusations, they were also nailing their own accusations. They're bringing it. Amen. That is the law. Amen. You can take it to the bank. It's a law. That when Christ died, you also died. When he was raised up, you also were raised up. When he was even taken up to sit, you also followed him there. And you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, this is important because you may be saved, but you are tormented. You don't have authority. Like my God would say, you lack power. Why do you lack power? Because of understanding. Understanding is key. Amen. This was my situation when I read the book, Kenneth Hagin, The Authority of the Believer, in 1978. It turned my life around. Amen. The believer has authority. You have authority. It doesn't depend on whether you are small or big. It's of no consequence of you. It is a consequence of your faith. If you exercise the faith, you bind the devil. Hallelujah. If you exercise your faith, you will push back darkness. Hallelujah. You only take a believer who knows his right. Hallelujah. If you know your right, you challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the law of loin or substitution, it is accepted that even now, they brought a bad one. If I am a public official and I steal 50 billion, yes, 50 billion, the catch me, say, okay, I agree. But I'll spend the money. So, okay, how many can you bring? So I can bring only 1 billion. That 1 billion will stand for the other 50 you are taking. Now, that is the law now of recovery of debt in the world. It is the, Sister Rice, Sister Nata, she knows that. That's the law. If you steal, they catch you, you say, I'm a plea, they call it plea bargain. It's called plea bargain. My people are saying, it started a long time ago. The accountant people are here. You steal 100 billion, they catch you. I say, okay. Maybe you do something, it's okay. How many can you bring? I can only bring one. That 1 billion will cancel all the other ones. Yes. I don't know, brother. Don't ask me now. Don't ask me that. That is international, not Nigeria. That's international law of recovery of, they call it bad debt. They write it off. Okay, he knows. They write off. Yeah. Even you, if you go to a bank, so if you. Offset your bill. Jesus of Nazareth. One of them became a governor. He became a something. I won't mention his name. Right from inside prison. He won the election inside prison. Then when they come, he said, the man is a free man. Why? Because he has plea bargained. And they leave that. They were not in the politics. No. I only brought it to show the law of man. How much more the law of God. Amen. Now when Christ died, well, we are there. It doesn't say Christ died for you. For you means that you are inside his belly. You understand? You are inside his belly. So when he was rising, you are rising. When he was sitting, you are sitting. When he was being tormented, you are everything because he died. So immediately you say you accept. Bakam, everything begins to work for you. Hallelujah. But you must activate it. Amen.
That will fit it is substitution. He took my place. That punishment that I would have suffered, he took it, so I am free. As opposed to the other things, you know. I mean, the
flip again is just a way of explaining, you know. So you say that's it now. The substitution is there. Mm-hmm. So the law of the law or substitution is there. The law, the substitution is there, you know. So we must understand the law of substitution. We must. If not, you'll be going to die again when Christ has already died. Amen. Like you say, you start there, you carry cross, and you go on the road. What are you doing on the road with the cross on Easter day? What are you doing? When you have already carried the cross, don't you understand? Amen. So faith catapults you into the estate of blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. So the next law there, which even bring it even more, is the law of what? Adoption. Amen. Hallelujah. You know? And it is a consequence of submitting to Christ. So the fact that you have submitted now triggers another law. Not just substitution. You have another law of adoption. Hallelujah. And who adopts you? Adopted by the Spirit, by the same Spirit. A better preach that message, you know, Toga Virilis. Is that what you call it? Toga Virilis. Go and listen to it. The toga, the Roman law, that when you are 30 years, a son, you are brought publicly. Jesus was brought publicly. Don't you understand? And there was a voice said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He was announced in the heavens. You know what Timothy says? That great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, declared free, amen, and raised up unto glory, and preached on in righteousness, amen. So, our faith is standing on a heavy rock. Solid, hallelujah. Not only substitution, but adoption. Hallelujah. And let me just read that scripture, verse 10 of Ephesians 1, for the young people. I'll just read verse 4 and verse 9, and then we'll move on. I read verse 3 before. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The purpose for that blessing is what? According as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery. Mystery means a revelation of what was in God's plan. Mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he had proposed. No, where is the adoption? I'm missing that one. Okay, no, verse 5. He said, having predestinated us, what? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Yes, verse 5. So God's plan was that right from the beginning he will adopt us as sons. An adopted son and a biological son, who is different? That's not like supposed. They are the same. And Jesus said, when you are sharing, you cannot despise the son of the second woman. The man, the first and second, everybody gets equal share. That because Jesus too was the first son. You understand? He was the first son too, naturally. You understand? But the thing is that by adoption, we are sons. And the Bible says we are joint heirs. Use the word joint. Do you understand that English? I don't understand it. It's too big. Amen. Joint. Anywhere Jesus entered, as long as you are entering. When you rebuke the devil, it's Jesus that rebuke the devil. If the devil touches you, he's touching Jesus. That's why they told Paul, "Oga, you go wound though." He said, "Oga, you go wound though. You are kicking against the priest. Don't go there." Amen. So in Christ, they don't see you. Who they see is you. That's why in the tabernacle, wood is hidden. You know, our humanity is what? Hidden. And the only thing you see what is gold. The nature of God. Hallelujah. You know? So we are not even supposed to be seen or even heard. The only person to be seen is what? Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so let's go back. So that's the principle of adoption. That you are placed equal. The same measure. Hallelujah. The only difference is that he is the head and we are the body. Hallelujah. Our identity comes from him. Amen. All right. Now, number nine. In fact, that one that blew the tail out of proportion. I don't know where those couple people have gone to. Alphonse, don't you see that they are wearing uniform now? Yeah. Was that sister wearing uniform the other day? No. But now she's wearing uniform. Can you argue with her? No. She has acquired bangi. She's now a bangi woman. Amen. Yeah. Yesterday she was from BC. Yeah. Now she's from where? Bangi. By marriage. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. So marriage changes your character. It changes your access in the heavens. Amen. You are coming to heaven. Who are you? Who know you? They know your husband, Christ. Hallelujah. That's why when you pray in the name, in the nature, in all the laws that Jesus has activated for you. When you say in Jesus' name, they're not listening to you. You know, you say, I rebuke. Who are you to rebuke? Amen. That's why I say Satan, say the Lord rebuke you. Amen. Hallelujah. So marriage is the grand access. That's why in that holiest of all, it's a place of marriage. The holiest of all, which we'll be talking about, everything there is because of, in fact, the high priest enters once a year. And everybody in Israel is in him. He's carrying their names on his chest and on his shoulder. Dan is there. Ephraim is there. Everybody is complete. As he enters, Israel has entered. Don't you understand? It is the law of substitution. The law of representation. The law of laying on of hands. Hallelujah. So, the purpose of reconciliation is for marriage. Because that marriage will produce the ultimate. Amen. That's why marriage is important to us now. Because through marriage, you propagate. God wants sons. The only way you can have sons is by joining with you. He will bring you to a new realm. Hallelujah. To bring forth the sons of God. Hallelujah. So you say all creation is waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God cannot come unto men. Say he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. That one spirit will produce an experience. Amen. And that's where we are going to. So all this grammar we are saying is that there are a people who are coming to a new spirit, a new estate of sonship. And a son has authority. A son only exercises dominion. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see the last law, the law of sonship, authority. A son has authority. He has authority. That's why he's a son. He has authority. Did you see how Brother Austin was speaking yesterday? Say, as the first son and the head of this family. Did you hear him? Did that other younger one, did he speak to him? Yeah. In fact, he was speaking to, the other one was just enjoying himself. This one, he was authority. He was carrying the scepter. I, as the first son of the family of so, I give you on behalf, I give you out. I say, you sister, go and submit to your husband. Did you hear it? Yeah. Sister, did you hear it? Me also heard though. Don't you understand? She spoke with authority. Sons have authority. Brethren, the time has come for the sons of God to be manifested. To show authority over darkness, over sin, over the thing that has terrified it is. But the only way into that place is by marriage. Is by joining. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, by breaking the marriage of the soul and the body, so that the soul and the spirit will now join. Don't you understand? There is a marriage already. So how to break that one? To now join to this one. Praise God. So let's look at the next one. Alright, so we have looked at those laws. Alright, so let's just go through some aspects of of, you know, marriage, the influences that come over us as a result of marriage. All right? And the first one is the influence of the mercy seat or the glory of God. You know, when you look at the tabernacle, if you don't look well, you say, ah, what's this grammar? You know, but there is something, there's a message in it. You look at that box, you know, the box is cut in the middle. Then on top of the box, you have an equipment. You have what they call a mercy seat. It is a plate of gold. There's no wood in it. It's gold. And then out of that gold, you know, is two wings of the cherubim. It's our wings. All right? Now, it's gold because it's heavenly. All right? It's heavenly. It's speaking about the covering. It's speaking about the overshadowing. And inside the ark, there are two experiences. The manna, the law or the covenant, and then... Yeah, it's a table. It's a table with a covenant. All right? That's the covenant of marriage. And then you have that wood. The deadness of the womb. The deadness of your mind. The deadness of the emotion. That wood. But that wood came alive. The wood metamorphosed. What was dead became life. Hallelujah. It happens as a result of incubation. All right, so let's read let me take the third one, Luke chapter 1, because I have a lot of scripture, so it's there. I know you are looking at it. So let's look at the example of Mary as we talk about influences. Luke 1:35. It's a very good example. Mary
is a type of the church
in the spirit. But in the fullness of the spirit, when it applies to the individual, Mary speaks of your soul, speaks of you, your personality, your spirit, soul, and body. Mary represents it. Hallelujah. Because remember, the word of God is dimensional. All right, so Luke 1:35. Okay, this is a experience of the angel and Mary, Angel Gabriel. Let me pick up from verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. How would that be without a husband? And bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Authority. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was the prophet. So you know, he was not just speaking about natural Israel. He was speaking about spiritual Israel at the same time. So you are there in Mary. You see the law of substitution. As he was speaking to Mary, he was speaking to you. Amen. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? Hallelujah. You know, which is always our question. How shall it be? You know? It says that we are coming to the place where men will not die again. How will it be? Amen. And then the angel answered, verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall do what? Shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall do what? Overshadow thee. Hallelujah. This is spiritual birth. Amen. The Holy Ghost overshadowed. Therefore also that holy thing, that is a seed, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. So in other words, the Holy Ghost was the one carrying the seed. Amen. Is that correct? The Holy Ghost was the one bringing the seed, because the seed didn't come from Mary. Mary had her own seed. So the Holy Ghost had to be carrying the seed of God. Hallelujah. And brought it and inseminated her. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you're not too sure. Amen. All right, so let me give you one more scripture. First Peter chapter 1. Don't cover Luke, because we're coming back. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again. How are you born again? Not of what? Corruptible seed, which is how natural men are born. But of what? Of the incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So, when you are born again, you receive a seed. Hallelujah. That seed is brought by a combination of the blood, the word of God, and the spirit. Three working together. They bring the seed of Christ into the soul. Hallelujah. So, you are just like Mary. Amen. So, God does not bring the seed and walk away. No. He brings the seed and he overshadows it. He incubates it. You know, it's that incubation that enables the seed to grow. Hallelujah. And the seed is going to grow to a fullness at which there will be a birthing. Praise God. Yeah, say amen. Huh? Okay, so is that clear? So when you put that together with Luke, it's very clear how the seed was born. How was the seed born? It was born by the operation of God. The seed of God was introduced into Mary. She carried it and brought forth Christ. Praise God. All right, so let's go back. All right, so So we see the principle of the seed. So the seed has come. But how would the seed manifest? The seed manifests in phases. Amen. When you have children, do they become sons immediately? So when the seed is born, the seed has been growing. The seed was introduced 2,000 years ago. Officially through the cross when Jesus died. Alright? But unofficially from the foundation of the world, the blood was already shed. Amen. Hallelujah. So God has been working in man to produce a son. Hallelujah. And now we have come to the end, we are coming to the end of that process in which that fullness of the son must manifest. And when the son manifests, darkness has to flee. Amen. So, is it not brother Sonny that brought that word? He told us about Jesus the carpenter. Is it not? Remember that word? About Jesus the carpenter. Alright? That was ordinary Jesus. That's the face. And the church is through that, it's in that face. There are many churches that are ordinary. They even kidnap the church. When the church is on, they come and kidnap everybody, they carry them to the bush. Okay, no power. Alright? Now, if you are not descending, you say, oh, church has power. God, it's just that church is in the realm of the earth. You know, it has no power. Hallelujah. So there are different types of church based on the development of that seed. Hallelujah. As a believer, in this room now, we are different stages of the development of that seed, the birthing of that seed. Hallelujah. But the general experience is that the church has moved forward. Alright? So, there was a time the church came, Jesus came, and he became the anointed. Alright? As the anointed, he began to do miracles, began to do all kinds of things. Amen. And A time came when he now moved on and he became the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. That is the stage. That is the growth that is coming to us. Praise God. Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. So, let me just read that scripture of Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Just pay close attention. As you see the logic, there is a logic that we are bringing. And the logic cannot be changed. The devil can do nothing about it. Because it's a law. The law has power in itself to execute itself. Hallelujah. Amen. It has power. Amen. When men make laws, they don't have power to obey. This law has power to execute itself. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. Say, why the earth remaineth? What happens? Seed time and harvest. I just planted some yams in my village. I'm waiting for harvest. I went the right there. I went to look at the yam. They said I should come and weed it. I will weed it. But I know there's going to be a harvest. Because the yam has power in itself. That seed has energy to bring forth tubers, which I'm going to harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you understand. So when God sent that angel and brought the seed, he knew that there will be a seed. Hallelujah. That seed will bring forth the sun. And that sun will overtake everything in the whole earth. Hallelujah. Amen. A day is coming when Christ, that seed, is going to come and become the governor of the earth. It may take some time, but it will surely be. Amen. Remember that song that says, surely, surely, surely it shall be. When the earth shall be filled with what? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Surely it will happen. Hallelujah. Okay, so say, why the earth remaining? Seed time and harvest. Cold and heat. Summer and winter. Day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. So the purpose of atonement is that we know we have seen seed time. So right now we are at the time of harvest. We are at the beginning of harvest. Hallelujah. And everybody who has planted the seed or who has a seed planted in him, he must get ready. Hallelujah. You know that the time for fullness, the coming forth of that fullness has come. Let's read James 5, 7. James 5, 7. We will not read all the scriptures because they are there for you. We will just pick key ones and then run. James 5, 7. Very important scripture. It talks about the husband man. Alright? You don't know what it says. Say, be patient, therefore. God is patient. I hope you know 1,000 is like one day with God. Amen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the what? The coming of the Lord. Because when you are not patient, you sleep. And some of us have slept. The things we believed before, because of time and circumstance, we begin to doubt. Hallelujah. But God is waking us up. Say, wake up, the mighty men. Hallelujah. Behold, the husbandman waited what? For the precious fruit of the earth. And has long patience for it until he received the early and the later rain. Because it's the rain that ripens it. Hallelujah. So just to confirm that thought, that there is something planted and there is going to be a harvest. So it's the principle. Okay, so let's we'll take the last part of it. The access. You know, so the purpose of atonement, the purpose of Jesus coming is that you and I must go back to the presence of God. You must desire it. You must desire not just to go in and out, but to abide. You know, you'll be planted in the presence of God. Like Brian was saying, When those brethren went up to the mountain, what was Adam, what was Moses eating for 40 days? Was he cooking? He had some restaurant. He was come down, get the restaurant and go back. Amen. Brethren, there is life in the spirit. There is life. There is life in the spirit. Amen. Alright, so that's what all those scriptures are talking about. Access. So let's read Revelation 22. The reason why you are born again is not that your sins will be forgiven. It's taken for granted. But the reason is that you might go back to dwell in the presence of God. Alright, so let's look at verse 14. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have what? You see that word? Right. Because there are cherubims now. When you come there, they will ask you questions. Amen. The cherubims are represented by the cross. The cross knows no brother. Even Jesus, he had died on the cross. Don't you understand? He put you on the cross, you must die. Paul said you must carry your cross every day. To do what? To crucify the Adamic nature. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are hearing that. Are we together? The cross of the message of atonement, brethren, is that the Adamic nature must be crucified. By who? By you and by me. Hallelujah. Paul said, I die daily. He died yesterday. Praise God. How about today? He died last week. Wonderful brother. How about today? So Paul died daily. So you must take your cross daily and crucify the Adamic nature. Hallelujah. Now, when the cross visits that circumstance, then it opens the door and you move one step further into the presence of God. Hallelujah. So you are climbing the wheel of Zion from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from level to level. Hallelujah. So as you are being changed, you are moving. That's the way it works. It's not that you wait until one day that you change, then that's a rapture theory. By the way, today is the, what's today's day, brother? Today is 28. Even phase 3 has come by dream couple. So, rapture is every day. Don't you understand? Today is rapture. If you die, you are rising. You may again, you write it. You start walking on water. Hallelujah. You start walking on your situation. You are rising. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is a daily experience. Amen. Resurrection is a daily experience. As you crucify the Adamic man, you are entering. Amen. So you are doing yourself a favor by dying. If you don't die, you remain. Don't you? You are two levels now. There are those who were on the ground floor when the elders were at the middle. But Moses, he moved to the highest. Hallelujah. The altar, the holy, and the holiest of all. Hallelujah. You and I determine the level we are going to go. And there are desperados who are climbing. They are so, every day they are fighting. One say, why should I sleep when God has not slept? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so there are so many of those scriptures. They are all talking about access. Okay, let's just take 2:7. We'll just take 2:7 and go. But look at all of them. They're all talking about when he that overcometh shall be given. Nothing is given to you unless you overcome. There's no free gift. There's no free brother. Free lunch. Verse 7, Revelation 2:7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I do what? Give to eat of the tree of life, which is where? In the midst of the paradise of God. When you are eating it, are you not in the paradise? Say amen now. When you eat it, you are in the paradise. So there are degrees of paradise. Don't you understand? Amen. There are lower realms, but there are the main action. Hallelujah. And see, the more you go, you will hear words. So you will see visions and dreams. So Paul, as he entered, he didn't just go there and sleep. He didn't sleep. He heard things that they said, oh God, this one, he cannot even say. Amen. So there's an excitement. There's an excitement. In every realm of heaven, there are excitements. There are encounters. There are things to hear. There are things to see. There are things to do. The man wrote so much that he wrote from Revelation. In fact, the whole book of Genesis, what's the other one? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He was writing. Wrote. He didn't rest. Hallelujah. When you move into God's presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. There's excitement. Hallelujah. So you need to start. Bring out one day in the week. Say, God, today is Mount Zion day. It's the day to climb. How do you climb? You climb with the word of God. You climb by prayer. You climb by fasting. Hallelujah. You climb by listening to tapes, messages. Amen. As you are listening, you are getting one word. You are eating. And you are responding. Hallelujah. It takes you into another one. If you will run and say, I have had enough. Can I have a break? Amen. I'm encouraging us for encounters. Bring out one day. Fight with anybody that wants to stay, but I can't come out. Nobody cannot come out. That day is Mount Zion climbing day. Amen. We should say amen now. That's you must start from. You see, if we preach this thing and you don't do anything, if there's no lifestyle change, it's a failure. You must change. This, I remember August 2016. I was at the back of the youth camp. Brabot was preaching. This same grammar. Life, I said, okay, I'm going to change my life. I brought out a piece of paper and I drew a scripture reading plan. I said, from today, I'm going to change. And that's why I began to do it. So there's no, you must decide. You must make a change. You must decide, I will be waking up at so and so time, or there must be an encounter, something you build and say, God, me and you will meet at so date. He told them, let them meet me at Galilee. Don't you understand? It was an encounter. So if you tell God, he will wait for you. Amen. Even when you are sleeping, the angel will tap you as well, God. You said you disturbed us and you want to be praying now. You say, wake up. Amen. You wouldn't need your time clock again because it has been recorded in heaven. Hallelujah. And God will help you. Just a little effort. God comes so much and helps you. Hallelujah. If people like us can wake up and pray, yeah, everybody in this room can wake up and pray. If I can wake up, you must wake up. I woke up this morning by 4:30 and I got sleep. I'm not finished though. I have to go and sit down again. Don't you understand? Amen. You can do it better than I. Hallelujah. Amen. So you read it so you can see all the things. So let's go to the next one. Next one. Alright, so let's go now. Alright, good. So now we're looking at the life of God. Alright, remember. The purpose why you are saved is that you will be feeding from the manna. My one market is not your manna. Your manna is where? In the spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, and then to show, where did they get the manna? Was a natural thing. They wake up the morning, it's everywhere. You know? And, you know, remember they say on the sixth day you must get double manna. Remember when the sixth day. So you must enlarge your capacity for manna. I hear some people say, I don't want to read scripture. Anyhow, the scripture must enter. Whether you are sleeping, or must enter. You are walking on the road, he must enter. Anyhow, read it like newspaper, listen to it, study it. Anyhow, it must enter. Because the entrance of the scripture is what? Light. Amen. So when the light enters, it begins to, the light has energy. So that the word of God converted the soul. Amen. That is the Aaron's rod now. That rod that doesn't want to pray, begins to pray now. It's changing. Hallelujah. Amen. The rod that used to get angry, they touch you, say, oh God, leave that matter. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. The man, as he's talking, he runs away. Amen. Aaron's rod is changing. Hallelujah. Day by day, little by little, that's the way it goes. Amen. So, the first experience there, Exodus 16 to 20, is a story. They even had a movie. There's a movie on it. Amen. So, it's a natural experience, but it's a spiritual experience. Because there's Sinai, there is Zion. Don't you understand? Amen. And all of them is revelation. Revelation for you. Tailored to your situation. Amen. So when you go there, you begin to receive. We can't get into it now. Because it was the light of God that wrote on that stone. God didn't bring chalk and beside it. It's not what he did. He was light that was touching the stone and was writing. Amen. For God to say, I will put my law in the inward part. There's a law there and a law of sin is there before he's put in. So God has to erase one law to change it to another one. Hallelujah. So he must stay long. He must stay long. Moses stayed for 6 days before God talked to him. You don't just come to supermarket. Well, you 3 days fast. You must hear me. God, you must hear me because I'm doing 3 days fast. No problem. If you are lucky, they might speak to you after the first 3 days fast. That's when God starts talking to you. Amen. You must wait. He said, I will wait. He said, my soul, wait on the Lord. He said, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Hallelujah. There's no baggage. You can't fake anything. You come and wait. Say, Lord, I'm waiting. You know, I was listening to our brother. He says, his spirit takes time to rise. I don't know about my own spirit. Me, I say, God, have mercy on me. Me too, I want to rise. When your spirit rises, it's not going alone. No. It's taking your soul. It's taking your body. Don't you understand? Yeah, say amen now. Amen. That's the technology of divine healing. The spirit rises first. Then the soul will go with it. And then the body will go with it. The Holy Ghost has come into your spirit. So one is 1/3. If you quicken it enough, then the oil starts running into your soul. Don't you understand? Then your soul begins to function like a spirit. Oh, yes. When I came here, I was so tired. I couldn't even write it for you. I was sleeping. Where my God was preaching. I said, God, open that vein where there is energy. Because I'm going to stand here. And before long, when he started singing, bam, I stood up. It was the energy of God. It has nothing to do with me. Amen. There is an energy that is divine. Amen. When you touch it, you start flowing. Hallelujah. So, the hidden manner is the hidden. God gives you access to energy store. Amen. And it's in the spirit. All right. So, let's just read Revelation 2:17. It talks about, I'll give you the hidden manner. But let's look at John 6. John 6. I know, let's just look at those John scriptures for the young people and then for just to remind us, you know, about bread. Bread is a person. Natural bread is everyday bread. What's the other one? Market Square bread. That's natural bread. But there is spiritual bread is a person. If you eat it, Lord, you yourself, you become bread. Oh yeah, you say you make us one bread. You are the energy of the things around you. Hallelujah. You are the bread of your family. Alright, let's look at it. John. Okay, you there. Okay. Say, labor not for the meat which perishes, but that which what endureth unto. This is spiritual bread now, no longer natural bread. That will endure unto spiritual. He's speaking about the two. Alright? Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God sealed. All right, the next one is 32. All right, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. See, bread from heaven, true bread. It's differentiating. Next one. For the bread of God is what? Have you seen it? The bread of God is what? He. So this he is the resurrection and life. If you are eating the bread, you are partaking of resurrection. Your mind will be rising. Your emotions, everything in you will be changing. And your personality will be changed. Which cometh down from heaven and giveth what? Life to the world. 34. Then they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Amen. And Jesus said to them, he didn't want to infer. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. This is what you call hidden manna. It is an energy system that is available to us. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 57. 53. All right, so let me read this second time. John 6:53. Is it there now? Okay. So, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Next. So, whoso eateth the flesh and drinketh my blood had eternal life. Now, bread, if you are eating bread, bread means nothing. The only thing is that bread converts to ATP. All right? It converts to ATP. All right. So the blood has energy. So if you want to have physical energy, you eat physically. Spiritual energy also comes from partaking of the life of Christ. All right. And I'll raise him up the last. The next one. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is meat, is drink indeed. All right. So the breaking of the bread we do is, partaking of that. For he that eateth my flesh, drinking my blood, dwelleth in me. You see, it has now got another level. Dwelleth in me and I in him. So it's not just getting, but it's now opening the door to realms for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Verse 7. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So the energy he had was not from, that's why he was always going. Early in the morning, he knew the energy source. And that's really what we are laboring, that every one of us, we must have an energy source, of going. And that is the where you get the energy. He said, even he shall live by me. Alright, so let's move. I think we are there to that. The covenant of marriage. Yes, I know you will tell me it's a table of covenant, but the table of covenant essentially was that God made a covenant with Abraham and with his people. It was an agreement. God has an agreement with you that he will be your God and he will be his people. God is an invisible God. The only way he can be seen is through you. That's the covenant. So, God cannot wake up tomorrow and throw you away. No, it doesn't happen like that. Amen. God has a covenant. He's committed to you. Amen. It's not that you're indispensable or I'm indispensable, but God is committed to you. And so, there is something in it for you. Amen. Because there is something for you in it. So, you are going to invest everything because there is something there for you. It's not a worthless investment. God is committed to you as a person. Hallelujah. If you are not faithful, I myself, my name is faithfulness. I cannot change. Hallelujah. So God loves you for who you are. Even though some things in me, he doesn't like, but me as a person, he has a plan for me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must believe in it. So if you believe in it, Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times. Not that he goes up to nay, I'm going to fall. But you fall because the root of sin has not been dealt with. Alright? So once in a while it will raise his head. Alright. So say 7 times the man will rise up. I say, No, I'm going to go back to deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is a covenant between Christ and you. Okay, so let's read that 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17 is the marriage bond. That's what we are taking to the bank. Amen. You know, remember that story when Philip came and asked him, say, Lord, show us the Father. And we'll be happy. So what are you talking about? Father. The Father cannot be seen outside of man. Don't you understand? Okay. You people say it's like this brother is preaching false doctrine. Which false doctrine? God is a spirit. Spirit cannot be seen. Or he said there is a medium. There must be a platform for spirit to manifest on the earth. That is the law of earth. Hallelujah. So they said, show us the Father. The Father should come and start walking around where you are there. What are you talking about? Say, he that has seen me. Hallelujah. Amen. God has intended that you will show forth his nature and glory on earth. Hallelujah. He's not sending any other person. He has finished it. That one sacrifice has finished. He's going, waiting until what? His enemies be made his footstool. He's waiting. He's not coming to die again. No. Having died once has finished. The work is finished. Hallelujah. If you don't believe, there are many that are quickly running the saga. We are ready. Amen. So me, I don't want to hear that story. Me, I'm going. Amen. They say if you don't say that, we are raising stones to quickly fill in. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. So there's an invitation to march in. Hallelujah. March in. So he said, what are you talking about? My plan is that anybody that sees you would have seen the glory of the Father. To the uniqueness of who you are. Hallelujah. I don't need to be an American for God to manifest. Amen. In my experience, God is coming and he is going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. So say, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Hallelujah. So the soul and man must join. That's God's plan. Join together. Hallelujah. So that the man becomes spiritual. He's a man walking on earth, but he's walking, living, talking in the realms of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Jesus came, the madman was seeing glory. He said, No. Yeah, it's something. Have you come to the top? They're not like ordinary people. We know thee who thou art. Yes. What's the English of that one? So we know thee who thou art. There was something different. Hallelujah. This was the same Jesus that was in the same synagogue before you with them. Because he went to desert and went to Jordan, came back and said, No. If you investigate, there was a heaven that opened. There were voices that came. Hallelujah. There was even a dove that came and landed on him. Hallelujah. So he became different. Hallelujah. That is the same experience that is happening to you and me. That's what we are saying. We must push into that place of encounter. Because in that place of encounter, something will happen to you. When you come out, you will not be the same again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I told you one that was lying on my bed. Some people bust into the room and say, that's him. And they poured something on him. How many years ago? I'm still trying to activate it. You have your own story. If you push far enough, the door will open. Hallelujah. It's not unique to anybody. Everybody has a story. It's just that Paul says, stir up the gift. If you don't stir the gift is lying dormant now. He says, stir up the gift. How do you stir the gift? By beginning to, push in. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the scripture is very clear. I put those other things. If you want to check about the man-child for the second generation, of course, if you Matthew tells us that it's 41 generation, Jesus was the 41st. So there's a 42, and that is Christ. Hallelujah. So you must be there. Man must be there to complete the story of Christ. Hallelujah. And that is the seventh man. So right now we are in the seventh age. And we are about entering, we are in the sixth age, about entering the seventh. Hallelujah. There must be a man on the earth on the seventh day. There must be a man. There must be a new man. There must be. And this man is a Melchizedek man. He's a man without father, without mother. He's a man of the Spirit. He's a man whom the Spirit of God has descended into his soul realm. Don't you understand? He's a different man. And that Spirit now is pushing through his body, rewriting all the genealogy of the diabetes. All those things are being rewritten. Hallelujah. Do you understand the grammar? There's a rewriting. There's a erasing and writing a new one. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a new writing. Every day as you're pushing the writing ball. As you're pushing the writing ball. As you're pushing the writing ball until they complete their handwriting. But some people are also going the right way. Now it's six and six. Maybe the six is already turning. Hallelujah. Amen. So as men are pushing into God, men are also pushing into darkness. Amen. They're pushing, working very hard. Designing, changing all the theory. I'm not a day. My name is day. I'm not he. I'm not she. I am day. It's a theology that, you know. Anyway. So these are sons of darkness. Hallelujah. Let's forget about them. We are talking about ourselves. So we must press in, brethren. We're not just as I'm born again. Born again to what? Born again for what? Amen. You're born again for a purpose. So that you can become a son. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm running now. Amen. So we're looking at atonement and then increase. Amen. So this is the one that looks impossible. It's called metamorphosis. It's an incredible physiology of life. Hallelujah. Where a lower energy changes and becomes a higher form. Hallelujah. By eating. Amen. Or by beholding. Alright, so let's look at the scripture. Romans 12. That's where we'll find it. Romans 12. I'm winding down. So just you'll be patient, please. Just stay with me. Amen. I'm closing everything down. Alright. So say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your soma. The word there, body, is not physical body. Soma. Alright, I don't have time to go and check it. But soma means your spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening? Say, present your soma, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Present it what? As a what? A living sacrifice. And we have mentioned the principle. If you go to Leviticus 9 verse 4. He said, this is the thing that the Lord commanded that you may do and the glory of God will manifest. Amen. And the last verse of that is Leviticus 9. Says after that the glory of God came. When you bring an offering, God will come to you. Amen. Amen. Jesus brought an offering. That's how he brought life to us. Don't you understand? So God requires you to bring an offering every day. What kind of? You're not bringing sin offering. Say, God, forgive me. Thank God for that one. But we're saying, go beyond that one now. You come and say, where you bring yourself as you are. It's called burnt offering. From your mindset, where doubt is. Bring the doubt and lay it down. God said, pray. You pray, whether you believe or not. Pray. Declare. Because that angel is waiting for that thing you will say to carry it. Amen. If you don't say it, the angel will not act. Amen. So you must make declaration. Speak around your house, your area. Go to your village. Don't talk to them. Walk around. Speak. Amen. You woke up in the night. Speak. Declare. Make declarations. That's the way you change things, by declaring. Because the words are spirits. The word has enough power to fight. It doesn't need you to follow it. Don't you understand? Amen. So the words are spirit. They are spirit and life. They are living. They have energy. Amen. So the more you begin to declare, those walls will hang around you. And they will clothe you. Amen. Do you know that the dress of Jesus Christ is blood? Revelation 9 says that his garment is dipped in blood. So if you press too much, you come to a place where you too, your own garment is blood. Amen. Your own garment is the word of God. Out of your mouth will come forth a rod. Out of your mouth, fire will be coming forth. He said, that man is a wicked man. Hallelujah. You and I are destined for that place. He said, there was a man, they gave him a censer. Censer means that they gave him a nature of prayer. Hallelujah. So they gave him a censer. You don't need anywhere. When you have censer, you pray. It is an energy. Or they gave him a sword. That means an anointing to do warfare. Hallelujah. And you get those things in the presence of God, brethren. Amen. So say, I be saying, you present what? Your body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. Fast for breakfast, no problem. Say, heaven, today breakfast is going. No breakfast today. I want to start with breakfast. Go and eat lunch. Praise God. 3 months from then, lunch will follow breakfast. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a project. Right? By December, there is something that we should be doing. But now, it is a project. I have written it and we are pushing it. We are pushing it. One day we will get there. Hallelujah. You must have a project. You don't just beat as one. No. You must have a target. Hallelujah. You must have a target or pushing. So you present your body's word, a living, not dead. Every day you bring something. Drop something on the table. All right? Holy and acceptable. Next one. And be not what? Conformed to this world. But be you what? Transformed. That's the metamorpho. Be you what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. We talked about the eido. Eh? The eyes. The doorway. And then we talked about ginosko. Alright? That which uses what has been garnered. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, let's go to the next one. Next scripture. Alright. Alright, we've seen that. I can't take all. Alright, when Aaron's run about it. Next slide. Yes, I think this is a this is First Kings chapter 4. Go to the next one. All right. About the change. All right, I talked about it. First Kings chapter 4 is very important. Let me just touch on it. First Kings chapter 4. I talked about it before. I just want to give us the scripture. Just to impress it in case somebody did not catch it. First Kings chapter 4. It's about the pot of oil. The principle of pot of oil. Pot of oil. Second Kings chapter 4. It says there was a widow. I hear there's even a movie that I've made now about this scripture. All right. Oil represents the spirit. All right. And it says that this woman had creditors. Diabetes is a creditor. Cancer is a creditor. Debt is a creditor. There are so many creditors. Criminals. Uh-huh. They are creditors. And they are stubborn. Huh? You know the other one that was one of their people. He said, God showed him the 4 spirits in his family. And he began to fast and pray. And then eventually the people said, these are the people. Amen. So he knew the spirits he had. Do you know the spirits that you are fighting with? Or you just come, carry a Bible, come and sit down and follow this. Don't follow them. They know what they are fighting. Amen. I know the one I'm fighting. Amen. Because God has shown me. I don't know, but I know, the one I know, I'm fighting that one. When I finish, you show me another one. If there's another one, I pray there won't be any other one. That I will finish with them. Amen. There are things you are contending. There are things you are contending. Amen. The people bring that story that when once you are born again, every spirit, who says so? We have showed it now. You can't. There is the nature of sin. You must say, there's a law. There is a criminal within. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you fight against them one after the other. God said he will not drive away all the people in one day. It is one day after, one battle after the other. Somebody say, I don't want to battle. Forget it. You are battling because you are a soldier. No man that warred entangled. If you don't want to, when they knock you on the head, you will learn to pray violent prayer by force. Amen. So, brethren, we are called to war. You are fighting ancestral spirits. You are fighting familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are spirits that have been walking in your family line. Once in a while, they raise their head because they want to bring you under subjection. And you say, no. It's all here now. We will see. Amen. So, you must contend. You are fighting against environmental spirits. And he has told that you are fighting about the ones that are in the water, if you have to do with water, the ones on the land, and then the ones in the mind. Amen. But we are more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. So the more you fight, the more strength you garner in the spirit. Say amen now. Amen. Hallelujah. So the pot of oil is to transfer the spirit of God from the realm of your spirit into your mind, into your soul, into your emotion, into your desire. Amen. You wake up in the morning, you feel depressed. You feel like that. You just wake up. For no just reason, you are depressed. I say, Keskese, this is the depression for. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of depression. In 3 minutes, I'm fine. But if you guys see that it's true, I want to see that. Then they say, okay, hey, it's true. They now lead you inside the room and lock up the door. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we must learn to transfer the energy of God into our being. Amen. Not just our soul, also our body. All right, next slide. We are going towards the end. Okay, we talked about all this before. I just put it there for those who are studying. All right. That this is the ministry of sealing. Okay, this is about the last thought. The sealing is very important. Remember, I said the purpose of reconciliation is for sealing. When God brings you, He shuts you in. The man sang the song, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What does that mean? You enter, they throw you away, you fall down, you come back. You try again and you come. They say, my friend, where do you think you are going? They push you down. Hallelujah. So that is what we are talking about, sealing. You know, where God shuts you in into a realm. Hallelujah. When you touch a realm, you know. Yeah, I know. Because after a fire fellowship, people come in the night, start pressing you. You know you are entering new territory. Amen. Say amen now. Some experiences, they start manifesting. Your car blows up. Something happens. It's not for nothing. They tell you are touching something. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there is sealing. Alright. And the sealing is a grace God gives you to keep your territory in the spirit. Alright. That which you have acquired, you're able to keep it. Alright, so let's just read Revelation 7. I just have one more to close, one or two more to close. Just bear with me. I'm closing today. Revelation 7, it's just 1 o'clock. Revelation 7, 1 to 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. That's the four realms of your soul. All right? Holding the four winds that they should not blow on the earth nor on the sea. You see, and I saw another angel ascending. Okay, an angel ascending is a ministry. that is coming to seal. Hallelujah. So I saw another angel or a messenger ascending from the east. The east is the mind of God. You know, someone that has received a word from God. It can be anybody. All right, it can be through a song, through anything. If you are keen in the spirit, you'll be waiting. I receive things not even from ministry, just things, you know. So you are waiting for the angel to open the door for you. It might be a scripture. Just open it. It might be a dream or whatever. It just brings you to a new dimension. Okay, ascending from having the seal of the living God. A seal means something hidden. Okay, that needs to be broken. All right, so scriptures come as seals. All right, the sister shared a dream the other day. It's a seal. If you press high, God opens it up for you and gives you. And then you start running with it. All right. So having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. There is no trouble in the heaven. It's only on the earth and the sea. All right. So we are being told to vacate the earth and come up to the realm of heaven. Hallelujah. The only place that is safe is in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. And I think we have explained that along. So he says, there is trouble coming on the earth and the sea. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. And that dream was telling us that there is tribulation coming. There is fire coming, isn't it? All right. Of whatever sort. So there is something coming. All right. Saying, hold not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Till we have what? Seal the servants of our God. Where? In their foreheads, in their mind. There's a ceiling. There's a ceiling. When God seals you, you lose the ability to go out. I don't know if you understand. Amen. When God seals you, the things you used to do, the energy to, the thought, the ability is gone. You're sealed. Amen. Say amen now. Yeah, people are not saying amen. That's why the angel drove away our brothers. He said, if they get sealed with this thing, that's the end. So they drove them out. Amen. So we are in the process of sealing. And what is sealed, I see, is your mind. And that's where social media is also sealing. Amen. So one must win. Alright, so you are sealed on the head, on the forehead. Okay. So look at Revelation 14. You see the same thought about the mind. That scripture about Ezekiel 43, actually the whole scripture, if you look at it, it tells you about the door. The entrance of the soul is your mind. The mind is the east. Because God speaks to you. God talks through your mind. That's the east door. Amen. The back door is emotion. Alright? Emotion and feelings. God doesn't talk to you through your emotions. He speaks to you. Remember, it says, hear what the Spirit said. The Spirit said. It doesn't make you feel. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Huh? What the Spirit says. So your mind is the doorway. So don't let it be blocked by anything. If there's something that's blocking it, deal with it. Forgiveness, blah, blah, blah. Deal with it so that your mind is open. All right. Revelation 14. And I looked, verse 1. And I looked, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having what? His father's name, what? Written in their minds. All right. I remember that's the scripture we read in Hebrews 8. Say, I will put my law, for they shall all ginosko me, for they shall aid, for they shall see. So God writes on you when you open the senses of your mind, the eye of your mind. Paul said, let the eye of your mind be enlightened. He called it the eyes of their understanding. Amen. When you know something by the Spirit. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. You're not knowing naturally, you know spiritually. And we're saying that our brothers and sisters who want to get married must know in the Spirit. Please don't come and be telling us you feel. I beg you, we will not take that feel. What have you seen in the Spirit? Amen. If you go high enough, you will see. Amen. And when you see it, other people have seen it too. Like, you know, some people will see it. And they say, yes, we too, we agree.
Amen. Alright, so sealing of the saints, you can see it in 1 Peter. Alright, so let's look at that locust spirit, that Joel chapter 4:1-4. That's a very important aspect of sealing. Sealing has to do with tenderness, and the locust spirit takes away tenderness. The locust spirit destroys tenderness. It destroys intimacy. God wants to be intimate with us, but the locust spirit feeds on that intimacy, makes you far. Sin drives you away from God. It takes away intimacy. When Adam sinned, he lost intimacy with God. So that's what the locust spirit does. What does it do? Verse 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. That, say, that which... Yes, it's there already. That which the parabar worm had eaten, had the locust eaten. And that which the locust left, the canker worm has eaten. And that which the canker worm left, the caterpillar has eaten. Look at for verse 6. For a nation whose is come up upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth is at the teeth of a lion, and he had the cheek teeth of a great lion, he had laid bare my vine waste and barked my tree. That's the tender part of the tree is taken away. Remember, we are trees of righteousness, isn't it? He said, he had barked my tree. He had made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. So, there cannot be harvest. Because, for the thing to grow, it's a tender offshoot. The spirit of the locust feeds on that. Hallelujah. So, where a locust has visited, there cannot be harvest. Alright, so it's the spirit of Ekron. It's the spirit of waste. Alright, you plant, it comes to destroy. Hallelujah. You fast for 2 weeks, get some energy. Then it comes from behind and clears everything. Hallelujah. You need to go to the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to bind the spirit of the locust. All right. That is eating. Look at it. It's in Revelation 9. You see there about the mind. You know, someone says, it's a guard their heart with all diligence. Guide your mind with all diligence. For out of it are the what? Are the issues of life. Say, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. Remember, a star coming from heaven to the earth. It's a bad movement. All right? Right, I should be going up. And to him was given the key of the potential spirit. I opened it, and there was smoke out, as the smoke of a great... And out of it were locusts. All right? And they have power. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, nor the green thing, neither anything, neither any tree, but only those men. So this is a spiritual locust. Only those men which have not what? The seal of God in their what? Minds. Hallelujah. So it's dangerous not to be sealed. Because you can easily believe a lie. Rapture is on the 23rd of September. Some people actually believed it. You know, because they were not sealed. They were not grounded. You know, so it's key that we are sealed. We are not easily taken by craftiness, the things that happen. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, that's the last one. Praise God. That's the last one. Praise God. So, let's go to the last slide. The last one, not this one. About Jubilee. Trumpet of Jubilee. Are you there? The last one. Eh? No. That's it. You put it now. No, we won. That's it. Okay. Okay, sorry. Okay, I see what you mean. The other one is our old slide. I just put it. All right, so this is the last. Pata. I can't see that. Anyway. But this is very, very important. Trumpet. Alright, so let's define. What is the trumpet for the younger ones? Okay, Numbers 11. He says, just show us Numbers. Let's just read it. Just for foundation of those who are wondering what is a trumpet and all that. How do we arrive at it? Alright, Numbers 11. Calm down. Please, we'll be looking while I'm looking. That's what he talks about. Have I missed it? Well, he talks about trumpets of silver. Okay, it's 10. Sorry. Numbers 10. Numbers 10. Actually, I don't have it on scripture, but Numbers 10. 4 verse 2. Say, make thee two trumpets of silver. Okay? That thou mayest use them to do what? For the calling of the assembly. And for the what? Joining of the camp. How many people have done youth service before? Sister Kitty, you have done. You know that by five, nobody tells you, papa, 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 papa. Whether you like it or not, you must wake up. He's telling you, wake up. All right, so a trumpet is a message. And there's no trumpet you blow in my tray that you hear in GRO here. It's not possible. All right, so it's a spiritual message, not physical. All right. All right, and you see, the only people that blow trumpet are the priests. So you don't just wake up and carry trumpet. You must be consecrated to blow it. Means that you have gone to God and you have a message for the church, and then you start blowing. All right, and when people hear it, they say, "Yes, I too was hearing it in my bedroom, so I know it is of God." Hallelujah. Say amen. Huh? Verse 3. All right. Verse 3. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall do what? Assemble. So it causes a movement. And if you know very well, you see there's a small gathering in the church. There's a movement. Because the trumpet is blowing. This trumpet of Jubilee is blowing. They will gather to the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Next one. And if they blow but with one trumpet, all right, then the princes, which are the heads, shall gather. All right. Next one. When you blow what? An alarm. What happens? Then the camps. So he's telling you the way the trumpet comes determines the content. The one we are hearing now is the trumpet of marriage, of the lamb and the bride. It's a last trump of a midnight. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not just saying get born again, but those things are important. We're gone beyond there now. We're saying your soul is going to be joined to Christ. Hallelujah. And there is a new experience coming. That's what we are hearing now. Amen. All right. So, I wanted to establish that. So, a trumpet is a message. So, when you come in the... And men don't appoint themselves trumpet blowing. No. They will only blow message that they have read on the internet. And they come and start preaching. We don't want that one. We want men who are sent, they hear something. They come down. Amen. And then they bring it. And then they minister it to the church. Hallelujah. In other words, they are the oracles of God. You see, when you minister as an oracle of God. Paul said, when I minister, I will mean not by doctrine, but I'll come by revelation. I come by, you know, by prophecy. I come by, you know, so that's the way it should be. All right, so that is the purpose of the trumpet. So let's go to the last scripture. Leviticus 23, talking about this trumpet. The trumpet has a character. Leviticus 25, verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. That's 49. And the space of the seven Sabbath of years shall be unto the 49 years. Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. When? On the 10th day. The 10th day of the 7th month is the day of atonement. Now, where we are. So, in this season of atonement, there is a trumpet blowing. Alright? And it says, it's a midnight trumpet. It's the last trumpet. There's no other one. Because when the bride marries Christ, there's no other grammar. It's the next thing is manifestation of the sons of God. Alright, so we have seen this. Let's go back. So, a trumpet, a brother was saying that a trumpet is something that shakes you. It awakes you. That's one. That's how you know it's a trumpet. If you are in the spirit, you are hearing. Like, I was in my room one day when the young people came for doing night vision in my house. I was just minding my business. Then I heard one song. Channels of your spirit, open up. I said, what is this? Because I know there's a trumpet in that song. I said, what is it? Open up. I wore my trousers quickly. I came outside and had the bag. I said, let me see the channel of the spirit that's open. Amen. The trumpet has no brother. If you listen well, you will hear it. That's a distinct sound. Hallelujah. It's calling the bride home. Hallelujah. Amen. He says it's time to go home. Because he says, when that trumpet, everybody that was a slave in bondage, you sold your house, you lost your possession, you are so and so and so. When you start hearing, it's like you wake up. You know? So when you hear that trumpet, you wake up. Hallelujah. You wake up. So the character of the seventh trumpet is that it quickens you, it wakes you up. Hallelujah. Now, it's not just waking you up, it equips you. It brings strength to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you see the story of the wise virgins. What happened? They were sleeping. But when they blew the trumpet, what happened? They woke up and began to trim their lamp. So it brings an activity. Okay, and that lamp is the soul. You begin to fill it with oil. That means you rise in the spirit and get oil, and you begin to fill your soul. Hallelujah. Alright, so we have seen the example of Ruth. Alright, just to say, at midnight, Ruth was being overshadowed. So that's what the trumpet is all about. It's about the overshadowing of the soul, the experience, and then the resurrection. That's another character. Verse 15 says, 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall not all sleep. I told you a story. I was in Douala, 2023. This sister here, she came up here, and she started saying, brethren, we shall not all sleep. Yeah, I sat up on my bed. I said, well, at that time, I was in a place of depression. I was crying. Bam, I woke up. I said, what is this girl sister saying? Oh, the trumpet of resurrection. Hallelujah. Brethren, we shall not all sleep. It's a trumpet. Hallelujah. And it's blowing. See, as we are born the image of the Adamic, we must, in the same way, bear the image of the heavenly. Now, the final thought has to do with the movement. All right? So, the church has come out of Egypt. Remember, we said Christ comes in dimensions. All right? So, we are done with Passover. That was what we talked about the first day. Being born again, there's no big deal. It's important. There's no brainer about it. Pentecost, done and settled. The only thing not settled is what? That last one is the coming forth of the fullness of the seed. Not just in the spirit, but in the body and in your soul. Hallelujah. So, Egypt, the people of God came out of Egypt into the wilderness. Some died in the wilderness. The wilderness is not my destination. Is the wilderness your destination? The wilderness is not my destination. It's not our destination. Our destination is where? The land of Canaan. But when you get into Canaan, you will find that there are people there. You must dislodge them. So when you begin to press in the spirit, you begin to find out that there are things lodged in the realms of your soul that you must dislodge. Hallelujah. So there must be a possessing of the soul. Hallelujah. And there's a time limit to it. And that's the word about atonement, because it's a time when the final push of God, all right, of God coming into man to establish Christ and then bringing man into himself will be done. Praise God. All right, so that's the last slide. Just show that last one. Now, these are the practicalities. What do you do? How do I respond to this message? You know, we'll be talking about it as we go along. All right? You begin from the cross. We'll talk about it. If you are not born again, I'm not saying your parents are Christians or you are becoming here. You must have your testimony. Blood must have touched your soul. Amen. If the blood hasn't touched your soul, today is an opportunity. Make sure you are properly born again. Hallelujah. Because that's what brings you into a covenant with Christ. Alright? Okay, we talked about the power of the blood. I say, if you want to overcome, you must eat blood every day. You must be drawing energy from the blood every day. Hallelujah. You must learn how to draw energy from the blood. Alright? And then, you must know that it's the Spirit. So we all beholding, as in a glass, are changed from glory to glory. It's the Spirit of God that does that change. And then, the washing of the water by the word. And then the fasting. And then we're told, you're not just fasting of the body. You begin from body to ascend. So that your mind, your emotions, your pleasures are also involved. Alright, so we thank God for the opportunity to just share these burdens. What we have done is to I've labored to put down the scripture so you can search and come to your own conclusion. Alright? So we must be bearing Christians to search and to conclude regarding what the Lord had. But we are clearly in the season of atonement. There is a clear trumpet. There's a new message. Not just being born again, but it's a message of joining to the Lord. And that grants access to power. That grants access to authority and dominion. Hallelujah. Because the authority is that of the bridegroom, not your own. So it's only when you submit that you're able to have access. So we'll just draw the curtain here. Thank God for the opportunity to share. Praise God.